This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the deconstruction of the Western world. When I say deconstruction, that means that we have walked over the line of despair into postmodernism. And Steve Vaughn in studio with me today, also a homeschool father of six. And friends, pop culture, of course, incredibly influential in the lives of most people. I would say somewhere between 90 and 98% of Christians attending conservative Baptist and Presbyterian type of churches are watching movies made in Hollywood. And so therefore, it's important for us to examine the worldviews. It's not just the public schools that corrupt the morals and break down the faith of each successive generation. It's also the pop culture. Pop culture is the breakout of the philosophies of the 19th century into the masses. And this is, my friends, how we become a post-Christian culture. And this is how millions upon millions of each successive generation walk away from the Christian faith. And that's why we come back to pop culture. And that's also why I wrote a book called The Tattooed Jesus. What would the real Jesus do with pop culture? Well, today we're going to talk about a story that is representative of the entire Hollywood industry. It's important for us to see these stories that are really demonstrating the true fruits of the entire industry. And my friends, by their fruits ye shall know them. And sure enough, we understand the fruits of Harvey Weinstein, who was fired by his own company. That is, I guess he was associated with Miramax. But he was fired for, get this, breaking the seventh commandment with a number of women who have recently raised accusations against him. Now, that is not the way the story was worded in the media. That was the way we worded it in the Worldview in 5 minutes. Of course, we tell the truth. We do the best we can to tell the truth. From a biblical perspective, we don't just say Harvey Weinstein was fired for, you know, people are very, very upset with him. We're going to say that there was some Seventh Commandment allegations involved. He broke the law of God and not just the law of man. And so we want to be sure that we bring the law of God into play. Now, it turns out actress Meryl Streep had referred to Weinstein as, quote, God. She called him God.
Wow.
In the 2012 awards acceptance speech. I think it was the Academy Awards acceptance speech. And now these other actresses are referring to him as a monster.
Yeah. So either he's God or he's Satan, one of the
two. Yeah, he's either a monster or God.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me, of course, of what happened in some 2,000 years ago with Herod, who was referred to as a god, the voice of a god, the voice of a god. And then you remember what happened. The worms showed up.
Something about worms, yeah.
The worms showed up, ate out his intestines, and the Lord struck him. The angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. So that was what happened. And this is what happens, of course, with our pop icons of the day. Hollywood and the star system, and as also the sports system, sometimes the politicians are often looked upon as the gods because, well, people revere them. People look to them with great respect. They consider the standards they produce in the movies as the standard of cool, and they revere them. They fear them. They look up to them. They
idolize
see these guys.
Them, yes.
They see these guys as God, and that's precisely the word used by Meryl Streep, referring to Weinstein as God in the 2012 Academy Awards acceptance speech. Well, my friends, apparently not a god.
No.
Apparently more monster than God. So, you know, somebody's having a hard time making the distinction here. Weinstein has been accused of rape by women, and he's in trouble. He's in trouble, and he lost his job. And my understanding also, his wife is threatening to divorce him now. But Weinstein also helped to salvage Woody Allen's career, you know, back in the 1990s.
Woody Allen, a paragon of morality.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all, Steve. The HuffPost article on this, I think it just came out recently. Allegations of sexual misdeeds have haunted Woody Allen for decades, but they don't seem to have slowed his career. Weinstein offered to carry his movie in 1994, Bullets Over Broadway. That was in 1994 that Weinstein stepped in with his Miramax production company and said, hey, let me give you a hand, Woody. Woody was facing some pretty severe charges, child molestation. These things went to the court, and a judge ruled that his behavior was grossly inappropriate. The word inappropriate, of course, in equivocation, doesn't want to bring up the word sin, doesn't want to bring up the word crime, but did want to use the word grossly inappropriate. Basically, the judge was unwilling to bring the towering gods of Hollywood down. Very difficult to do, of course. And Harvey Weinstein was right there trying to prop up Allen's career by offering to produce his film Bullets Over Broadway, and that pretty much salvaged his career. And my understanding is Allen worked with Miramax for more films later on in the 1990s. Here's a quote from Weinstein. He told the LA Times that that shunned by Hollywood means nothing to Miramax. We're talking about a comic genius here. That's what he said about Woody Allen. So,
yeah.
You know, hey, shunned by Hollywood, no big deal. We're talking about a comic genius here. You know, one of the most sexually depraved, dirty old men who ever lived. Yes, but he's a comic genius. We will put him on the silver screen.
Yeah, how can we put him down? I mean, he's helping so many people laugh.
Oh, yes. Laugh their way to hell. That's what Woody Allen was best with, as, of course, one of the most impressive existentialistic producers ever. Mainstreaming John Paul Sartre, self-absorbed existentialism. In fact, Woody Allen himself, one of the most self-absorbed persons that has ever lived, which is, of course, why the abuse allegations and all the rest. He basically lived out his own existentialism. Very, very sick. Very, very, very sick individual. And I would say, you know, if you'd look at his career, marrying the adopted daughter of his live-in girlfriend at the time, Mia Farrow, and all of the other things that constitute his sexual lifestyle, a very evil man, as evil as a serial killer, yet... a director, received 4 Academy Awards, 24 nominations, 2 Golden Globes, and received a standing ovation at the Academies in 2002. You know, we're not worthy. We're not worthy to be in your presence. Ah, it's the voice of the God, voice of the God, standing O for Woody Allen at the 2002 Academy Awards celebration. And yet, probably one of the most sick, dirty old men in the history of the world. All right, so that's Hollywood for you. Isn't that a good picture of Hollywood?
Yeah, yeah, and I think we should keep supporting them by going to their movies and watching their videos, right? No.
Well, and you think of Woody Allen, you think of Weinstein, and all of the allegations against these guys, and then there's Roman Polanski, another director. And again, these guys are the top-notch dudes. These are the guys, these are the minds that have created the existentialistic, nihilistic worldviews that have mainstreamed in society over the last 30 to 40 years, my friends. Roman Polanski, by the way, in the last month, I think there have been 4 women that have come forward accusing him of criminal sexual activity, events that occurred in 72, 73, 77. So he's not living in this country for one reason. You know that, right? Roman Polanski is not living in America. You know why?
He doesn't want to go to jail.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Roman Polanski and the accusations against him burgeoning. Of course, what's happening is, be sure your sins will find you out. I think for a period of time, these guys feel like they're God. They get a little power. They get to set the zeitgeist and set the direction for the way that hundreds of millions of young people will think. They are the prophets of the age. They are the gods of the present day. But the gods of Hollywood are falling, and their intestines are falling out like now. Friends, we're going to talk more about this in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. You think James Bond is a hero? You really, really like Miramax films? You really do? The gods are falling, and their intestines are dribbling out, even as we speak. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost?
Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Steve on in studio as we talk about Hollywood, the gods of Hollywood falling, and quite a few gods falling of recent. Be sure your sins will find you out. Sometimes power seems to give people a free pass for a while, but people begin to feel like they're God, impervious to any judgment or retribution. But friends, you're only about 5 feet 10 inches tall, okay? And the universe is slightly bigger than you, and you have created nothing. And it turns out the mills of God grind slowly but very fine. I don't know who said that, but it ties into what we find in Scripture. The mills of God grind slowly but very fine. These guys think they can get away with it for about 25 to 30 years. Roman Polanski, he does his little trysts with 15-year-old girls or whatever it was in the 1970s. You know, what, 45 years? What is it? 45 years since 1972.
Yeah.
Roman Polanski got away with it for 45 years. Wow. You know, God must not exist. There must be no judgment. That's the impression I think these guys get. They can get away with it forever, but be sure your sins will find you out. And even if it will be on the final judgment day when these issues will be brought up to consideration, still, of course, God's justice, God's righteousness is absolute. And they, I think, will be shocked at the absoluteness and the infinitude of the justice of an almighty holy God.
Yeah, and that's that's when they will fall on their knees, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you want to or not, it'd be best if you did so willingly, because Jesus Christ is Lord, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him.
Well, and they have an opportunity to repent this side of death and judgment, and we encourage anybody who has followed in the pathway of Harvey Weinstein and his movie productions, as well as Harvey Weinstein himself, if he's tuning in this program, that there is an opportunity to repent. There is an opportunity to fall on your face and cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and to realize and to recognize that the Son of God, the very Son of God himself, came down in order that he might die on the cross for our sins, that we might confess our sins. And if we do confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's so there's hope here for Harvey, this side of death and judgment. And I think, again, as long as he's alive, you know, this may be a bit of a mercy of God that he is caught and he has been humiliated. He's been severely humbled. And it's possible that the man may repent and truly come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus.
And we would rejoice in that, because, you know, all of heaven rejoices even if one lost sinner comes to faith in Christ.
Yeah. Well, there should be no surprise whatsoever that Hollywood producers and directors live out the worldview contained in their movies. Weinstein's production company was probably the most edgy, pushing the moral limits of any of the mainstream film companies during the 1980s and 1990s. I go back to Sex, Lies, and Videotape in the 1980s, produced by Miramax. I think you need to understand, Steve, that that Miramax, what Weinstein stood for, and I think the reason why he was so supported by the Hillary Clintons of the world and others, was because he was the most autonomous. He was the most rebellious against Almighty God. He shook his fist a little higher than everybody else in the crowd that was setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. So that's what Weinstein was about in the 1980s and 1990s. He produced Sex, Lies, and Videotape in 1980-something or other. I think it was 1985 and 86. Then in 1992, produced The Crying Game, which, as you know, was a film that promoted homosexuality. It's one of the very, very first films that produced a bit of a sympathetic view of homosexuality. There he was in 1992, probably the guy who led the march towards the acceptance of homosexuality and, of course, homosexual marriage over the next 25 years or so. So in terms of the destruction of the morals of the entire Western world, Harvey Weinstein was right there in the front of it all. And then in 1994, you remember Miramax produced Pulp Fiction, which has been called the touchstone of the postmodern film, received 7 Oscar nominations, and it set the standard for brutality and bloodlust as well, and set the stage for Kill Bill 1, 2, and 3. I think Miramax did a couple of those as well. Pulp Fiction was filled with blasphemies, used the F word almost every single sentence. Wow. I mean, it was by far the postmodern film that stepped over the line of despair and used what I would call the most nihilistic word in the English language today, and that is the F word, in which there is nothing but suicide, nothing but sexual suicide intended by a movie like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, and one interesting note as well, that in June of 1993, Disney acquired Miramax. And so Pulp Fiction was made under Disney.
Even more mainstream. Weinstein, of course, yes. And his brother, I believe, were still the producers.
They continued
to do the work with Disney.
But that lets you know where Disney's at, too.
Weinstein turns out to be one of the most immoral guys in the history of the modern world, and he happened to be behind the most immoral film company, leading America's moral collapse in the 1980s and 1990s. Is there any surprise that the most immoral guy turns out to lead the most immoral film company that sets the direction for the deconstruction of morality in the entire Western world? Hey, guys, are we shocked? Yeah. Are you shocked?
I am gasping.
Oh, yes.
Right now.
I cannot believe it. And of course, you know, he's been on Fox News and CNN on the front page for the last 4 or 5 days. People are just shocked that the great god of Miramax, the man who led the zeitgeist in America and the Western world over the last 25 years, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Of course they've fallen. They're immoral. They've shaken the fist in the face of Almighty God. Of course he's coming down. It's Proverbs 5:22 all over again. That's why we encourage our young people to read Proverbs. And we have produced 3 family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs, including this one sitting right in front of me. Some 700 pages in which we encourage families to be sure that they give their children the book of Proverbs, that their children understand the thousands upon thousands of applications of the book of Proverbs into every single area of life, including this one, Proverbs 5:22 all over again for good old Harvey. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sin. Does that sound like Harvey Weinstein to you?
Yeah.
Held by the cords of his sin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, his own iniquities have taken him down, baby. Proverbs 5:22, all over again. The gods of the copybook headings limp up to explain it once more, meaning that the Proverbs that are contained in the everlasting, eternal standards of God's word come back again and again. Proverbs 1:31 also, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their way and be filled with their own devices. And that's exactly what's happened to Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Exactly. You know what's interesting? As I was looking at Proverbs 1 this morning, Steve, I thought Proverbs 1 really applies to Hollywood. In fact, that whole section from verse 10 onwards just really seems to apply to Hollywood and pop culture. Now, I want you to listen to this. As this wise man speaks to his son, and as you and me, as we need to speak to our own sons, listen to what it says. I'm going to put in the word Hollywood in a couple of spots so that you get the idea of what Proverbs 1 is speaking of. Sometimes people read the Word of God and say there's just no relevance to it. You know, there's no application anywhere. It's kind of neat, hypothetical truth, but it doesn't really apply to anything. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing new under the sun, though. I think the same guy wrote that.
Oh, yeah. And there's all kinds of applications, but Hollywood is a great application. Listen to this, friends. Proverbs chapter 1, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they, Hollywood, says to you, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them alive like shale and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them, with Hollywood. My son, do not walk in the way with Hollywood. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Sounds a little bit like Hollywood, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, just a bit.
Well, before we're done with this edition of the program, I want to take one icon of Hollywood that I think has been accepted by so many young people, young Christians. It's the American icon of James Bond. And James Bond represents Hollywood almost more than anything else. Why? Because it's been going, I think the franchise has been going for 55 years. It's one of the longest running franchises in the history of Hollywood. 24 movies so far in the franchise. It's the fourth largest franchise ever. $7 billion.
Wow.
Worldwide over the last 50 years. And some of the actors are well known and liked. You say Roger Moore.
Yeah.
You say Sean Connery. You say Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, and Daniel Craig. What do people think?
Those are nice guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool guys. Cool. James Bond is supposed to be cool, but you know the gloss comes off. The gloss comes off. Take the gloss off. Friends, the gloss of Hollywood is always tarnished. Always tarnished. And is tarnished over and over again. James Bond is not cool. I think pastors need to tell their audiences that. Pastors need to stand up and say, James Bond is not cool. Now, again, it tends to be Hollywood that sets the zeitgeist. They set the clothing styles. Before you know it, all of the young men in the congregation are wearing the same kind of clothes. They're donning the same sunglasses. They're trying to look like James Bond. Sometimes they're using the same hairstyles and all the rest. Hollywood tends to set the styles, tends to set the attitudes, the proudful attitudes amongst our youth. But James Bond is not cool. He fornicates with 3 to 4 women in almost every single movie. He's a dirty old man. He's never committed to any woman. He's a vagabond on the earth. He's worse than a polygamist. Why is he worse than a polygamist? A guy is fornicating with 3-4 women serially in any given movie is a fornicator.
Yeah.
He's a serial fornicator. He's not responsible to anybody. It's hard for people to say these things about their heroes, but friends, it's the truth. James Bond is not cool. The Economist gives a helpful chart. I caught it online. You know, The Economist, the magazine, Economist,
yes,
gives a helpful chart. And what they do is they compare the number of times each of these characters, these James Bond characters, murder or fornicate. And it turns out Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig kill the most people per film, 16 to 18. Daniel Craig drinks the most martinis, and Roger Moore fornicates with the most women.
Wow.
So as I'm just telling you, somebody out there has done the stats on this. Okay? And
it doesn't look good.
And you know, Bond kills two scientists in Moonraker for no reason at all.
Yeah,
you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And in Goldfinger, James Bond sexually assaults a woman. She's not agreeable to it. It's a
that
sexual
would be,
assault.
That would be rape.
That would be a rape. That's correct. Ian Fleming describes James Bond's character in Moonraker as he talks about James Bond's day as elastic hours from around 10 to 6, lunch generally in the canteen, evening spent playing cards in the company, a few close friends, or making love with rather cold passion to one or three similarly disposed married women. That is, his character is an adulterer and a murderer. Now, biblically, the man who's an adulterer and a murderer is worthy of death.
That
biblically speaking.
Yeah.
So again, friends, it's important for us to analyze the cool characters just in a biblical sense. Otherwise, our ethics are constantly being bent. by the cultural standards of the day. You see how that happens, Steve?
Yeah.
You wonder why the shack-up rate is 10 times what it was in 1970. And you wonder why fornication is pretty much a way of life amongst young people attending your typical flaky evangelical church today.
Yeah. It's what you're watching and what you're putting into your brain is what's going to come out.
They're conforming to the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But friends, you sit there and you watch and you're impressed by James Bond and all of his fornication, his adultery, and his murder. And before you know it, you're acting that way yourself. Now, you may not go into full-fledged murder. You might just be hateful and bitter and vengeful, personally vengeful towards others in your life. Now, of course, the Bible doesn't allow for that. You're not to be vengeful at all. You're to be a forgiving and loving person, and you're not to be hateful and angry. However, of course, there is a role for the civil magistrate to be so. And I think the bottom line is what you have with James Bond is the lowly existentialist, the vagabond who's wandering east of Eden. He doesn't have a family. For the most part, no marriage. If he does get married, his wife is shot within about half an hour. Yeah. So and that the whole idea is that he would continually be the vagabond wandering east of Eden in which he does not have relationship in family or church. Again, friends, this is the life of the humanist. That is, there will be no family. There will be no man who knows his father and no father who knows his son. That's essential in Plato's Republic. That's so essential with the modern existentialist man because hell is other people. And so, of course, there is no marriage, no relationship, just one man plugged into the state. And this becomes the model for the youth. And of course, murdering other people without a court trial and without a declared war against a nation borders on anarchy and social disorder. And I trust that doesn't happen very much in the real world. I'm guessing that the spy culture isn't running around killing people right and left, 18, 19 people in every hour or two. If that was happening, Steve, if James Bond happened in the real world, it would spark so many wars between nations. I mean, think about it. Think about the level of anarchy and the level of warfare that would exist if this James Bond character was real in real life, where there's murder going on, short of any kind of a civil trial, short of any kind of a declared war against a nation. This is happening, friends. The world would be in flames, in anarchy and destruction and social disorder. It would become unraveled. But why do Christians like to be like James Bond? Why? Because he's cool. But what makes him cool? He saves the world. But how does he save the world? By pragmatism. If a man can save the world by committing adultery and murder, then the man must be good. That's the idea conveyed in pragmatism, that if you can just commit adultery with the villain's wife and commit fornication right and left and murder as many people as possible, then if that saves the world, then that justifies the means you used in saving the world. That, my friends, is a pragmatistic way of looking at life. And of course, this is why the vast majority of people are pragmatists and existentialists. Friends, this is the ethical theory that is imposed upon them. Well, that's why Christians think he's cool. Christians think he's cool because he's got good looks. He drinks martinis, looks wealthy and healthy, and he's morally unaccountable. Sexuality without responsibility, it's what every boy wants, and probably why he's driven to pornography. Young men turn into lazy, self-centered young men looking out for sexuality without responsibility. The ultimate sexuality without responsibility is what? Pornography, of course. There's no person involved. It's just self. It's just all about self. Self and more self. And that's James Bond to a T. Well, what the Bible says is have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, pull them out of the darkness and pull them into the light and reprove them. And that's what we've been doing on this edition of the Generations broadcast. Now, some of you are going to say, you have ruined James Bond forever for me. To which we say,
good.
Yeah. And friends, you know, some of you may resist this because you are too taken by the unfruitful works of darkness. You're too addicted to them. But I would encourage you to understand what the unfruitful works of darkness are doing and come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Come to repentance, come to true faith, and walk in the light even as he is in the light. And that's my admonition to you on this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. Would encourage you, of course, to our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? If you want a full presentation on how to understand pop culture, movies and music, and of course tattooing and a few other subjects, it's called The Tattoo Jesus, and the book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, October 13th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A University of Oklahoma study found that American couples who resort to pornography in their marriage were almost twice as likely to get divorced. Researcher Shankar Vedantam told National Public Radio that pornography is especially affecting the marriages of younger couples. Covenant Eyes reports that almost 70% of young men are visiting porn sites on a weekly basis, and in 56% of all divorce cases, at least one party is accused of having, quote, obsessive interest in pornographic websites, unquote. President Trump signed an executive order yesterday that is supposed to provide, quote, Obamacare relief, unquote, that will allow smaller businesses and individuals to develop their own insurance across state lines. It also provides more access to short-term insurance policies that do not have to conform to Obamacare stipulations. Liberal Senator Chuck Schumer tweeted his disappointment with the order, calling it, quote, a wrecking ball to single-handedly rip apart and sabotage our healthcare system, unquote. Trump announced to the media that this action is just the beginning of returning freedoms to Americans.
With these actions, we are moving toward lower costs and more options in the healthcare market and taking crucial steps toward saving the American people from the nightmare of Obamacare. Today is only the beginning. In the coming months, we plan to take new measures to provide our people with even more relief and more freedom.
The United States is pulling out of UNESCO, and so is Israel. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization is known for its promotion of sex education and feminist ideologies, especially in third world nations. President Ronald Reagan pulled America out in 1984, but President George W. Bush rejoined the organization in 2003. The death toll in the California fires is up to 28, and hundreds more are missing. 3,500 structures have already been destroyed over 191,000 acres in the fires. Earlier this week, the Lord sent what some have called, quote, an historic wind event, unquote, that further exasperated the problems. Counting structures and deaths, it is confirmed as the worst wildfire in California history. According to the Cal Fire Department, 12 of California's 15 worst fires in history have occurred since the year 2002. In 1972, 55% of California voters were Republican, compared to only 31% Republican last year. In 2014, California became the first state with a law forbidding conversion therapy for children under 18 with inclinations toward homosexuality. In 2015, California became the first state to pay for gender reassignment surgeries for prison inmates. And earlier this year, California became the first state in the union to require gender-neutral single-occupancy bathrooms to accommodate men who wish to act out the part of a woman. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has issued a memo containing 20 principles of religious freedom. These are intended to govern federal administrative agencies and departments to protect the religious liberties as a fundamental right. The Boy Scouts made news in 2013 when they invited open homosexuals into the dens. Now, the Boy Scouts are inviting girls to participate with them, too. Girls will be joining Cub Scout dens next year, according to the new rules issued earlier this week. This is precisely why we enrolled our 7-year-old son, Honor, in the Christian version of Boy Scouts called Trail Life, which is growing exponentially because of its unwavering stand for biblical morality. And this year, my 5-year-old daughter, Mercy, joined the Christian version of the Girl Scouts called American Heritage Girls here in San Antonio, Texas. Check out their websites and our transcript today at theworldview.com. And find a chapter near your family. The McManus family loves these two ministries. Flights to Hawaii could get cheaper. Southwest is looking at adding Hawaii as a destination since they've purchased their first Boeing 737 jets with increased fuel capacity. Bitcoin broke through the $5,000 barrier yesterday. That's a 5-fold increase for 2017 for the computer algorithm-developed coin thus far, and a 175-fold increase in value since 2013. One Christian economist, Gary North, calls it the second largest Ponzi scheme in history, second to the Social Security system. Others see it as a viable currency. When the next South Carolina legislature convenes in January 2018, it appears ready, willing, and able to ban all abortions. Even children conceived through rape or incest would be protected. Stay tuned for my Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast. Quartz.com has issued a long report on reverse missions. Foreign nations are sending missionaries into the United Kingdom to reach this post-Christian pagan nation with the word of the gospel. One South Korean missions group has sent 300 Korean missionaries into the UK over the last 8 years. And LatinLink has brought missionaries from South and Central America into Ireland and Great Britain to salvage some Europeans from completely, quote, abandoning its Christian roots, unquote. However, the report adds that few whites are reached. Typically, it's immigrants that are receiving the gospel in these cross-cultural connections. Over half of churchgoers in London are black or of Caribbean descent, a group that only makes up 13% of the city's population. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Friday, October 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for my Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. Ready for some exciting pro-life news? South Carolina might ban all abortions come January. The Worldview spoke with Matthew Clark, Executive Director of Personhood South Carolina.
The Personhood Act is very simple. It's designed to restore equal protection under the law for all in South Carolina beginning at the moment of fertilization. We like to say protecting all life beginning at conception without exception.
South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster is an enthusiastic champion.
Personhood South Carolina is very grateful that the Lord has moved the governor of our state, Henry McMaster, to come out and voice strong support for the Personhood Act of South Carolina. Governor McMaster also sent us a letter with his pledge, and in his letter he said, "Please know that I strongly support the Personhood Act and look forward to signing it into law."
For years, Republicans in particular have debated whether or not to allow politically expedient exceptions for rape and incest within pro-life legislation. Listen to how Clark frames the debate, stemming from the foundation of personhood itself.
If the Personhood Act is signed into law in South Carolina, it will grant equal protection under the law to all babies. All criminal statutes regarding persons would be applied to babies in South Carolina. The Personhood Act does not have any exceptions. The murder of a baby is always unacceptable. The baby has been made in the image of God, by God. We can't punish that baby for the sins of its father That baby deserves to be protected. And so the circumstances surrounding the baby's conception cannot determine whether that baby has unalienable rights.
Ultimately, Clark notes that the personhood movement is rooted firmly in God's creation.
Well, we always point back to the fact that God says in Genesis chapter 9 that we are made in his image. When we attack God's image in other human beings, we're ultimately attacking God. And a society that allows its people to attack God on a regular basis is a suicidal society that will not last long.
If you believe we have attacked God for far too long by tolerating abortion, including the abortions of children conceived by rape or incest, stand with Personhood South Carolina today by liking their Facebook page at facebook.com/personhoodsc and making a donation to this noble cause through their website, personhood.sc. By the way, Clark's 22-year-old son Jonathan writes our newscast every Wednesday, which airs on Thursday. The apple does not fall far from the tree. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.